Welcome back, everyone. Today we're going to be diving into 1 Kings, but with a twist.
A list.
Yeah. We're looking at it through a historian's lens.
That's a great idea.
Right. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah.
So 1 Kings starts with King Solomon, right? The son of the legendary King David.
Yes.
And of course, he's known for being wise, right?
Yeah.
Like that story where two women come to him, both claiming to be the mother of the same baby.
Ah, yes. Solomon suggests cutting the baby in half.
Oh, wow.
To see which one is the real mother.
Okay.
And of course, the real mother says, no, 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 don't do that. I'd rather give the baby up.
Right.
And that cemented his place in history as a wise and just ruler.
It really did. But then he goes on to have like 700 wives and 300 concubines.
It's a lot to keep track of.
Yeah, that's a lot of birthday presents.
Yeah, so.
And it really makes you wonder, like, what was going on there.
Well, it certainly raises questions about the influence of foreign wives on his reign. And the text itself suggests that these marriages led him astray from his God. And historians often debate the role of cultural clashes and just the evolving moral perspective in understanding this part of Solomon's story.
Right. So fast forward a bit, and after Solomon dies, the kingdom splits in two.
Right.
His son Rehoboam basically has a choice to make.
A big choice.
Yeah. Does he ease up on the people, or does he rule with an iron fist?
Mm-hmm.
And he chooses to keep things how they were, which leads to the formation of two separate kingdoms.
Yes. Israel in the north and Judah in the south.
And this really sets the stage for a lot of the conflict that comes later on in the book.
It does. It has a profound impact on the political and religious landscape.
Right. So then in the north, we have Jeroboam, the new king of Israel.
Yes.
And he makes a pretty bold move. He sets up these golden calves in Bethel and Dan.
Right. For the people to worship.
For the people to worship.
But remember, the Israelites believe in one God.
One God.
So this is a big departure from their traditional religious practices.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the text says it was a sin.
Right.
But historians also suggest it might have been a political strategy.
Like maybe a way to solidify his power.
Exactly, by creating a separate religious identity for the northern kingdom.
Interesting. And now for someone completely different, we have the prophet Elijah.
Yes.
He comes onto the scene like a whirlwind, really.
Dramatic entrance.
Yes, and his story is full of miracles and confrontations, like when he goes head to head with the prophets of Baal.
On Mount Carmel.
Yeah, they both set up altars and call on their gods to send fire,
yeah,
to consume their sacrifice, and well,
the prophets of Baal, they fail.
They fail.
But when Elijah calls upon Yahweh, fire comes down from heaven and consumes his sacrifice.
Wow, talk about a mic drop moment.
It really is. But we do have to remember,
what's that?
That we're looking at this through a historian's perspective.
Right.
And, you know, from a historian's point of view, did these miracles really happen or are they just symbolic?
Good point.
We have to remember that 1 Kings blends historical events with theological messages.
That's true. And that kind of brings us to a really important point.
What's that?
The historical record and the biblical account in 1 Kings don't always line up perfectly.
Right. And that's one of the challenges historians face. You know, it's not about saying that one is right and one is wrong.
Right.
But it's about understanding that they might have different agendas.
Yeah.
And that can create discrepancies when you try to analyze them through a modern lens.
So we're not trying to discredit the Bible.
Yeah.
But just acknowledging that it might be offering a slightly different perspective.
Right. And I think it's that blend of history and faith that makes 1 Kings so fascinating.
I completely agree. So as we continue our journey through 1 Kings, let's keep in mind that there might be multiple layers of meaning to uncover.
Definitely.
And that it's up to us to dig deeper and try to understand the historical realities behind the stories.
Absolutely.
It's interesting how 1 Kings is almost like a political thriller with all these power struggles and shifting alliances.
It really is. And the consequences of those power plays are pretty intense.
Yeah, like we talked about the division of the kingdom with Rehoboam. Choosing to rule with an iron fist.
Mm-hmm.
But then he loses a huge chunk of his kingdom.
And he faces constant threats from the north.
Makes you wonder if he had any second thoughts.
Well, it raises questions about his decision making, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Was he just arrogant? Or was there something else going on?
Maybe some other factors at play?
Exactly. Like economic pressures, maybe advice from others.
So maybe he wasn't just this like stubborn ruler.
Right. It's important to remember that historical figures aren't always so one-dimensional.
True. They're a product of their time and all these different forces.
And that's what makes studying history so fascinating. It's about understanding human motivation.
Absolutely. So speaking of motivation, Let's talk about Jeroboam up north.
Okay.
He sets up his new kingdom, but then there's that whole golden calf situation.
Right. He really shook things up with that.
Yeah, because the Israelites were all about one God.
Yeah, monotheism was central to their identity.
So by introducing those calves, he was kind of going against everything they believed in.
It was a direct challenge to their covenant with Yahweh.
Right. The God who had freed them from slavery in Egypt.
Exactly. So it wasn't just about changing a ritual.
It was way deeper than that.
It was about their core beliefs and their relationship with God.
And this obviously had huge repercussions.
It created a rift between North and South.
Further cementing the division.
And even though it might have helped him politically in the short term,
it led to even more religious conflict down the line.
It's a classic example of how even well-intentioned decisions can have unintended consequences.
Especially when religion is involved.
It makes you think about the balance of power and faith.
A theme that definitely keeps coming up throughout history.
And it's one of the reasons why 1 Kings is still relevant today.
Totally. It offers insights into power dynamics and the human condition.
Exactly. It's about looking beyond the surface and trying to understand the motivations and the context.
And sometimes that means accepting that we don't have all the answers.
Right. The historical record isn't always complete.
And different interpretations are possible.
Which is what makes studying history so exciting.
It's about piecing together the evidence we have.
And creating a narrative that helps us understand the past.
And sometimes the questions are just as important as the answers.
Absolutely. It's about engaging with the ideas and challenging assumptions.
And ultimately, forming our own understanding of history.
Exactly.
Thinking about all these kings and first kings, it really makes you think about legacy.
Oh, yeah, how they wanted to be remembered.
Right, like Solomon. He's known for his wisdom, but also for all the excess and how that contributed to the kingdom's decline.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mixed bag.
And Rehoboam, his pride and his stubbornness.
Led to the division.
Yeah, a legacy that lasted for generations.
Makes you wonder what was driving them.
Right? Were they just power hungry, or did they really think they were doing the right thing?
That's the question, isn't it?
And then there's Jeroboam, trying to create this new religious identity.
With the golden calves.
Yeah, but we saw how that backfired.
Unintended consequences.
Definitely shows how complicated leadership can be.
Even with good intentions, things can go wrong.
It's not always a simple story of good versus evil.
It's a mix of ambition and faith and power struggles.
And 1 Kings really captures that complexity.
It's what makes it so interesting to study.
I think what's been really cool about our discussion...
What's that?
...is how we've had to consider all these different perspectives.
The historical, the theological, the literary...
Just all that puzzle.
...trying to piece it all together.
And it shows that there's not just one way to interpret 1 Kings.
Right. It's open to different viewpoints.
And that our understanding of history is always evolving.
New evidence, new perspectives.
So as we wrap up our look at 1 Kings, I hope you've gained a new appreciation for history.
And for the power of these ancient stories.
And remember, this is just the beginning.
There's so much more to explore.
If you want to keep digging deeper.
Yes.
Dr. Bo Bennett's work on critical thinking is a fantastic resource.
It really helps you analyze these texts.
So thank you for joining us on this journey through 1 Kings.
It's been a pleasure.
Keep asking questions.
And keep exploring.
Until next time, happy reading, everyone.